que tu appellerais pour lui demander aussi. D'accord. Merci beaucoup, madame.
Okay, so yesterday, first of all, a correction slash clarification. We're talking about where to Kriya on the Beged. And so I still don't know what Rav Schachter's opinion is, mm-hmm. or you know, or don't understand it. But I think the consensus among the Chevra was that you should start on the top of the Beged. Wherever that is, that's what's meant by Beis HaTzavar. And again, like the Ramban says, you shouldn't do it Keneged HaChazeh. Meaning, say the Ramban is saying, and again, I think I said this incorrectly yesterday, you shouldn't do it too low, but rather you should start at the top. That is the correct place to start at the top. So seemingly then, so if you're wearing a t-shirt, it would be very straightforward to figure out where you would tear Kriya from, where you would begin. The question is, if you're wearing a button-down shirt, what would you do? So you might have thought, so you should start at the collar. But here, some poskim say that you shouldn't do it as part of the collar, because the collar might not be actually part of the beged. So that's why I think people start right below the collar. And not actually on the collar. I don't think I've ever seen anyone have a tear through their collar. So again, you could have argued that that makes sense, but that's why the practice is to start right below the collar. But I guess the goal is still the top of the beged. Okay. So yesterday we were in the middle of talking about kriya for someone who was around Bishas Yitzias Neshama, and what's the reason why you tear Kriya under such circumstances? So the Gemara says, from Rav Shimon Lazar, it's domet to a Sefer Torah Shenisraf. So what exactly does that mean? So there are a number of interpretations. Rashi, as quoted by the Ramban, and this is in a Rashi al-Harif, probably also the Rashi Ksaviad, says that Adayin Hayayachal Lomot. So what I thought that meant was that it's the lost potential. In other words, why are you tearing Kriya for this person? This person, you know, had they stayed alive, they could have learned so much more Torah. And now they're dead. Can't learn Torah after you die. So that lost potential is what warrants the Kriya. Now the Ramban says, if that's true, then you shouldn't be Koreya al Isha. Why? Because Nashim are Pturos Mitalma Torah. But the Ramban actually thinks you should be Korei al Isha, and that Rashi's interpretation is incorrect, because Rashi implies that the Kriya is for the future, and in fact the Kriya is for the past, because of the person's past accomplishments, his lifetime that he lived, not the lifetime that he could have lived if he hadn't died. And what's the pshat? So he says it's not literally like a Sefer Torah in this draft, but the pshat is it's a mashal. He says that the body, Shabbat Shalom, the body is like the gvil, like the parchment of the Sefer Torah, and the soul is like the askarosh of the Sefer Torah. So the idea is that when a person dies, the death is the separation of the body from the soul. The body is deteriorates, and that's like the burning of a Sefer Torah, where the parchment is burnt and the askaros go up to Shamayim.
Like in the Higher Gemalchus.
Yeah, yeah. That's so I think that's the way he's saying. That's the pshat in the mashal. And he says that what's the pshat? You tear kriya on anyone that is mekayme hamitzvos. And Rashi and Shabbos Kuf Hei Amud Beis says something very similar to the Ramban. He says, you know, every Jew is Malei Mitzvos Kerimon, like we say. So therefore, according to Ramban, and presumably Rashi and Shabbos, there would be no difference between men and women. Now, there's actually a third Rashi, which is our Rashi in Moed Katan, on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, that says a slightly different pshat, because Torah is like the Ner, and the Neshama is called the Ner, and the like. And again, presumably, according to the Apshat as well, perhaps we wouldn't distinguish between men and women. So the Beis Yosef, in the end of the day, wants to say that we should definitely care for women. And he basically says there are three reasons. First of all, we probably paskin like Ramban. And moreover, even according to our version of Rashi, not Ramban's version of Rashi, Rashi would agree you care for women. And maybe, even according to Rashi Ksav Yad, the Rashi that the Ramban had, you would tear for women. Why? Because women are also chayef to learn the halachos, at the very least, that they're shayech to. You see, I think, from that line, that the Beis Yosef understood that women, that it's machlokas rishonim, it's discussed in Hilchos Talmud Torah more extensively, whether women have a chiyuv Talmud Torah for the halachos that are shaykh to them. And there's a discussion, there's a famous Tshuvas Beis HaLevi, who he thinks perhaps against the Beis Yosef, or against that women do have to know, but it's not Begeder Talmud Torah, it's just practically speaking, they have to know what to do. But you see from this Beis Yosef that Lachari didn't understand that way. And I think I have to check back at the Beis HaLevi. I think the Beis HaLevi is saying lule this view, that it is a fundamental chelek in Talmud Torah, kiyum in Talmud Torah, and therefore it would warrant kriya for the reason that Rashi says, because of the future Talmud Torah that's not being studied. You see that also, I think, from the Gross says that the makor for that view is hakel, meaning to say, if you hold that it's just so practically, so you know what, you don't violate the halacha, you have to learn halachah Shabbos, otherwise it'll be machal Shabbos. You don't need a makor from Hakel, right? The fact that he quotes a makor, so I think it's from the Levush, actually. The Gra gets it from the Levush. That you need a makor shows that it is a somewhat of a more fundamental obligation. One way or the other, that is the halacha, of course, that women, that one would tear kriya if they were present for the death of a male and female. The Taz quotes the Marshal that you would say the opposite, perhaps, for a katan. In other words, if you learn like Ramban, so then for children you shouldn't tear kriya because they don't have Torah and mitzvos that they've studied. And if you learn like Rashi, so you should tear kriya for a katan because of the future Torah that they would have learned. So the Bach says, but if a katan had already started to learn, then l'kulei alma, you would tear, right? For Rashi, for their future learning, and for Ramban, for their past learning.
That doesn't count.
So it's fascinating that you see a very fascinating point from that Bach and Taz, which is that the mitzvot that a katan does would not warrant kriya, because they don't have, that's not a kiyum mitzvah, it's chinuch, but it's not. But the Torah that they've learned does have shem Torah. Not necessarily maybe off the formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they've studied Torah. In other words, children learning Torah is different than children doing mitzvot. Children doing mitzvot is not really mitzvot, it's just practice for when they're adults, so that they know how to do it properly. But there's, it's not a chefta shel mitzvah, but it's a chefta shel Talmud Torah in terms of kriya. It's a fascinating point. Sounds like, according to this view, which Ashach and Ataz seem to explain, that we accept Rashi and Shabbos, and therefore you would be korel isha, but not on a katan, or a little child, or not on a katana. Fine. Now the Pischei Tshuva, fine. All right. We'll leave it at that. Now, the truth is that, okay, so that's Sifhei. So Sif Vav is Kriyal Adam Kasher. The Gemara in Moed Katan says that Tzarech Livkos, well, you see, the Gemara itself is very unclear what this is. The Mishnah says that you're Koreah for relatives, and the Gemara says, just relatives, what about this, what about that? And the Gemara says, Toch Tvarev, Adam Kasher, who Chiyuve Mechayev Lemikra. Right, if he's an Adam Kasher, we'll define Adam Kasher shortly. So you're chayev to do kriya. Chiyuve mechayev. Right, Titania. Mipnema banav uvnosav shal adam mesim shenktanim. Kedei Sheyivka v'yisavel al adam kasher. Right? So, on the one end it says, in the Gemara, chiyuvei mechayva lemikra, you're chayv in kriya for adam kasher, but at the same time it says, kidei sheyivka v'yisavel. It doesn't say kidei sheyivka, it sounds like in order that you be sad. Right? Everybody agrees you have to be sad for an adam kasher. In the Gemara, talks all about how if a person is sad, mochlin lo akol avonos, like an adam kasher. I'll tell you that I was zocha to sit next to Rabbi Willig recently at a levaya for an adam kasher, and he was crying, I don't know, the whole way through, but most of the time. So, anyway, it's very helpful because it made me cry. He was sitting next to Rabbi Willig, and he was crying and crying. And it wasn't, you know, even somebody who he is necessarily so close to, but so. It's like the Mekonnenos, right? If they cry, they get everybody else to cry. So if you sit next to somebody who's crying properly as a funeral, so that that helps you cry. Maybe I would have zocha without it, but it definitely helps. So anyway, so which one is it? In other words, on the one end, again, the Braisa said, the Braisa mentioned Al Adam Kasher, that Bechia, right, Yiv Kevius Abel, but the Gemara extrapolated from there, chiyuvei mechayve lemikra. So there are mixed implications from the Gemara, which is why the Rishonim debate what the Gemara means. According to the Ra'ah, according to the Ravid, we'll say first, which is the mainstream view of the Rishonim, according to the Ravid, there's a chi of kriya. After all, the Gemara does start with the lines, chiyuvei mechayve lemikra. On the other hand, according to the Ra'ah, and the Rav Yah and a number of other Rishonim, no. When it says, the Braisa doesn't say anything about Kriya, so you see that the Chiyuv is only to be sad. Right? What does it mean then when it says, Chiyuvei Mechayvei Lemikra? In bo Chiyuv Kriya, El Deshapir Lemevet HaChi. It's a nice thing to do. It's a proper thing to do. But Lishna De Chiyuvei Mechayv Lav Dafka. You're not Chayv to do it because you can't prove from that braisa that there's a formal chiyuv. At best, you could prove that it's a good thing to do. And you see a similar idea in the Ramban and the like. So, half the Rishonim say there's a chiyuv kriya, and half the Rishonim say there's no chiyuv kriya, there's just a chiyuv to be sad. So the Beis Yosef writes, V'yesh l'tmoa ma'asamcho olam shalolak ra'al adam kasher. Right, already in the times of the Beis Yosef, people were not fulfilling this halacha of kriya al adam kasher. Since the people are of lower stature than them, so then there's not a chiyuv. So what is the velt somechan? This suffik of the Ran, and the svar of the Rav Yah. But the Beis Yosef says that's what they're somechan. But it's shver. V'adaver barer delo shavkinan ma'ade pshita lehula kula poskim mishum sveika deharan. And Sfarsa Rafia, in other words, yeah, there is this minority opinion in the Rishonim that says you don't have to hear Kriya, and that's what the Velt is Somechan, but the Velt is wrong. The Rambam, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch, all say you're chayev to do actual Kriya. However, the Ramah quotes a Yesh Omrim, and he says this is the Minog, that you don't have to do Kriya, and the Shach also discusses this in Sifkat Yud Beis. You're only chayev to do kriya if you were there for shas yetzias neshama. Otherwise, boche umis avel, but you don't have to tear kriya, which explains the common practice of not tearing kriya for adam kasher. Again, I don't know what svardim do, but at least Ashkenazim don't tear kriya based off of this a school of thought in the Rishonim that the chayev is only to be sad and to cry, but not to tear kriya. Yes. The Beis Yosef noted that this was the common practice, but he thought it's very schwer. He said it's based off of this, you know, suffix of the Ran, based off of these Rishonim that say you don't have to, but he thought that those Rishonim were overruled. It's a minority position. Okay. So how do you define an Adam Kasher? So the Rush writes, Ein Chasher al Avera o Bittel Mitzvah, the Lo Sanu Shum Ane. So I think, you know, most Bnei Torah, certainly people that try their best to observe all the halachos. Okay, nobody's perfect. Ein adam aretz asher yaseh tov lo yachta, but nobody's like chashed on any particular thing, and they have good reputations. So if you follow that view, then it would be lots and lots of people would qualify as an adam kasher. The Ritva notes, even though clearly we're talking about someone who isn't a chacham, because chacham, you have to, the chiyuv is higher, as the Gemara says, right? The Gemara talks about a chiyuv for a chacham, and a little lower than that is Adam Kasher, and then a little lower than that is someone who you're there for Shas Yitzias Neshama. So he's not a chacham, but the Ritva says, of course, he has to be somewhat knowledgeable, because if it means someone who's medaktik b'halacha, not Adam Kasher, someone's medaktik b'halacha, he can't be medaktik b'halacha, you don't know anything. It's okay, it means someone who's not, you know, but he's knowledgeable enough to be medaktik behalacha. Now, that's what the Ritva says, yeah. Now, is there any higher thresholds? So, the Bach, which is also cited in the Shach, says, Noeg lach soracha mitzvos ub milos chasadim. It's not just a regular fellow. It's someone who runs after mitzvos and chesed. The Nemuke Yosef goes even further. He says it's talking about a chassid. And, you know, the impression you get from some of these sources is Adam Kasher is not just like a regular person. You know, it's a special person, someone who sort of stands out among his peers, not necessarily with respect to chachma, but with respect to mitzvos and chassid and the like. So, The Shulchan Gavoa has a very interesting theory. We gave one explanation before as to why we're not so medaktic about this. He has a different explanation. He says, now, Baruch Hashem, Ach Shadar, there's so many people that qualify as Ksherim, like, you know, the Rush says, that Lo Chashad Al Aveira. So it would be impossible. We'd have to tear Kriya for everybody. In other words, I think, at least he's saying it, Petar Slimat Zchus, and Adam Kasher, you get the impression is not just a regular guy. It's someone special. A regular person you tear kriya for if you're there b'shas yitzias neshama. And Adam Kasher is someone special. So if you're going to... But since the Rush says Adam Kasher is someone who's not chashed on aveira, well, everybody isn't chashed on aveira, and so therefore memela, the whole din is batal. Fine. Okay, so we mentioned before, we alluded to this, who's chayav to do kriya for the Adam Kasher. So the Ramban writes, seems to say, at least, that it's only if you're nimtza b'fanav ben misa l'kvura. In other words, just knowing that the guy died is not enough. But you have to be in front of the mace. Now that would mean if you went to the Levaya, you were b'fnei ha-mace, you would have to tear kriya. But if you just you open up your Jewish newspaper and it mentions that somebody died who qualifies as an Adam Kasher, you get the shul email or the like, so then you wouldn't have to tear kriya according to the Ramban, simple reading of the Ramban. But the Russian arrived to disagree. They say no, that anyone who's aware of the death of this Adam Kasher between a Misa and a Kfura would have to tear kriya. However, the Beis Yosef tries to argue that there is actually no dispute between Ramban and the Rush, and everybody agrees everyone agrees. And then there's a question that that's a shtickle question. So that's what the Shach in Sifkat and Yabes quotes the Bach as saying that Dafka Bifanav and that's the way he understood the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, there is a dispute, this is quoted by the Shach, as to who, what exactly the psak of the Beis Yosef, of the Shulchan Aruch, I should say, is. It's not so clear. But as we said, one way or the other, the minhag is to be makel in all of this. And then there's another machlokas, which we alluded to before, about Talmidei Chachamim, that according to the Ramban, it's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, the Talmidei Chachamim are pater from that, unless they're omeid if... there. Okay. And others disagree. Now, just another, an interesting ha'ara related to this is, what about saying Baruch Dai Na'emes B'Shem U'Malchus? If you look at the Gilyan Marsha on this halacha, he writes, "Umivarech alav da'ina ames b'shem u'malchus." Quotes the Magen Avraham, Simen Reish Chaf Gimel. But the Knesset HaGedola is mefakfek l'omer b'shem u'malchus.
This is all for other kosher.
Yeah, that's the minhag. The minhag is that we don't say with shem u'malchus for not of kosher. Okay. Siv Zayin, we have the status of a chacham and a talmud chacham. So it's interesting. Usually, we always equate chacham and talmud chacham. Refer to probably Chachamim as Talmidei Chachamim, but you see here that they're not actually the exact same thing. So the Gemara in Moed Katan and Daf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph says that Chacham Shemeis Hakol Krovav and Hakol Korin Alav. That's what the Bavli says. Yushalmi says, Shem Shekorin Al Chachamim, Kach Korim Al Talmidei Chachamim. So what does that mean? So that means that you have to tear kriya l'chora for all Talmidei Chachamim. Well, who's a Talmud Chacham? So the Ramban, as well as other Rishonim, says that means that it's a person that you could ask him a question in any place, even Maseches Kala, and he'll be able to tell you the answer. Okay. Somewhat of a high standard. Now, l'chora, this is the view of the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the way, at least the Beis Yosef understood the Rambam, that you're Korea al kol chacham, at least any chacham that reaches that level. However, the Maharam Rottenberg, and the Rama quotes this as a Yesh Omrim and says this is the Minhag, as does the Shach, says no, it doesn't mean any chacham. It means someone who you learned from them, or at least you know of their chidushim that they were machadesh. So if you read about in a newspaper a big Talmud Chacham that passed away, even though he's a huge Talmud Chacham, Bucky and Shas, even Maseches Kala, but you never studied from him and you never learned any of his chidushim, he didn't teach you, you never read his farim or heard his chidushim, so then according to this view, the view cited in the Rama, the Marami Rottenberg, you would not have to tear kriya. And some of the Achronim rejected this Marami Rottenberg. They said it's against the Gemara. The Shach defends the Marami Rottenberg. He thinks that that's actually the correct opinion, or at least it's a valid opinion, and that's the way we paskin. However, the Shach notes that even if that opinion makes a lot of sense, but still that does not account for our practice, meaning to say that we don't even tear kriya for such a person, right? We don't even tear kriya basically ever for chachamim. You know, gdolei hador die. These are gdolei hador that we've heard their psakim, right? And they're great talmidei chachamim, and still the practice is not to tear kriya. So how do we explain that practice? So the Shach says, oh, must be that we hold of the aguda, that nowadays there is no person that shol and oso b'chol makom b'dvar halacha, and he knows the answer. We referred to this opinion yesterday. That's the Shach says b'shem the aguda. Now he doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't sound like he's saying it and like thinks that this is the best idea, but that's the yishuv at the very least for the minhag ha'olam. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that medaktekin are koren b'shulei ha'beged. Like we said, so I don't think someone wants to be medaktek b'davar zeh. It's a nice thing. I don't think they should do it in public because that would be a shtukul yuara. But yes, in private, if you wanted to do it b'shulei ha'beged, right? We saw, remember the Ramah yesterday that said that you didn't like this Ramah, but that cases that other than relatives to share it, the minhag is to tear b'shulei ha'beged, or you know, if you had a an old shirt that anyway don't wear anymore because it's got a big stain on it, so then You know, if he wanted a tear in private, maybe that would make sense. But the Minhag HaOlam is not to tear. It's not to tear, presumably based off of what the Shach says. For sure. You're doing a halacha that nobody else does. Now, maybe it's shver the Minhag HaOlam, but to be medactic in a halacha that nobody else is doing is I would think, I mean, you know, if you're bar hachi, it wouldn't be your rabbi, but for a regular person to start being medactic in such a halacha in a place that nobody else does that. No, I've never heard of anyone tearing kliya for a gadol hador who died. Unless, you know, they think that they're the Rebbe Muvak or the like. Or tearing kliya for a Rebbe.
Well,
doesn't have to be a god. What?
What about Chacham Liyav Shankas? Not even your Rebbe Muvak, but you said a different category, but Chacham Liyav Rebbe rather your...
Yeah, so that's a little easier to be Miyashiv if he doesn't meet the criteria of even the Mechaber, of knowing the halacha anywhere. In other words, to be makil for someone who is not your Rebbe Muvak and is not someone who's shoel and oso dvar halacha b'chol makom the omra, so then that's not so shver to be makil on.
Makil meaning you don't have to tear.
Makil not to tear, right? So
echves,
my seventh grade Rebbe is nifter. So avade, he's a Rebbe shenu muvak, and he meets that criteria of having taught me much. He taught me a lot of things. But even according to the Mechaber, in that case, you wouldn't tear kriya, because the din is, this din of Chacham, or Talmud Chacham, is only shol and oso dvar halacha b'chol makom. The Ramah is make. The Ramah says, even if he is shol and oso dvar halacha b'chol makom v'omra, still you don't have to tear kriya if you haven't studied from him, or know from his chidushim. Right?
He's chol makom, and you know from his...
So then, l'chor, according to the Ramah, you would have to tear kriya.
Can you do him
according? No, I still think it's yora.
Okay, fine.
Because nobody does that.
Is it yora for Rebbe Mofak?
No. Okay. But we'll talk about Rebbe Mofak nowadays, but nobody really has Rebbe Mofaks. So, I mean, maybe some people, but it's quite rare. So, therefore, I don't think it would be yora for Rebbe Mofak if somebody actually had a Rebbe Mofak. Yeah.
Sounds like they're both saying differently in Rebbe's term. It sounds like he's arguing
that. Yeah, so I thought you would say that. You're saying the Ramah is a kula and a chumra, right? A kula and a chumra. It's a kula that even if he's yodea halacha b'chol makom, but it's a chumra that even if he's not such a chacham. So you could say that, but you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. Meaning to say that it could be that we would, and that's, I think, what the Shach is assuming. The Shach is accepting the Ramah and saying, still, you don't have to do it if you think that no such thing person exists nowadays. In other words, just to take a step back and explain what Jeremy's saying, right? Jeremy's saying like this. Look, there's two opinions how to read this. The opinion of the Ramban and the Rosh and the Mukhe Yosef, who say that it means shol and oso dvar halacha b'chol makom v'omer. And then there's the opinion of the Marami Rottenberg and Hagos HaMardachai, who say that it means chacham is yodeh mishmos of shechidesh. And if you are Yodea Mishmo, and the Ramah Paskins like that opinion. And therefore, if Yodea Mishmo also Shal Chidesh, even though he's not such a big Talmud Chacham, you don't have to tear Kriya. Right? However, you could also say, no, that to tear Kriya, you need to fit the requirements of both views.
I think the Shach is actually defending Rebbe's opinion. The Shach, when he brings in the Aguda, it sounds like, why do you have to bring in the Aguda unless you're explaining according to the Mechaber's approach?
No, he's, well, one way or the other, he's saying that's what we accept. In other words,
Mechaber.
Either, yeah, but it could be even the Ramah is agreeing. I don't know if he means Lafuke the Ramah or not. I don't know if he means Lefuk Vidarama. Either way, though, we're willing to accept that. The Dochak in the Aguja, I think, and as why is the Shach, you know, think that this is Dochak to be Samech on the Aguja? Because, you know, between you and me, right, the Shach could answer a Shaila B'chol Makom, even in the Sechas Kala, right? Easily. So, you know, the Shach says nowadays we don't have people like that. The Shach was like that.
He said that the way we're against the Shach is defending the Maharam Rizvah.
No, I didn't say that. I was saying the Shach is defending the practice.
No, Rebbe said that the Gabbai is defending the Maharam.
What is the Maharam does defend the Maharam in Rittenberg's Pshat and the Gemara. Meaning, say, remember the Rush asked all those questions on the Maharam Rittenberg, and he said the Maharam Rittenberg doesn't make sense, right? It's against the Gemara, so the Shach defends those kashas. Yeah. The Shach thinks that the Maharam Rittenberg's Shita is a very cogent view and a good reading of the Gemara. Then there's a different question. Okay.
It's just the bottom line, the Shach holds like the Maharam, even though he defends the...
I don't know how he holds. The Shach defends the Maharam Rittenberg Shita. Then he says, okay, but still, the Maisa were not even knowing like that, right? And his answer is, ah, you know, the Velta Somech on the Aguda, right? Ad kan devrei Ashach. What's the problem?
With the Ramah that he's had Germany.
Cast Germany.
It's not a problem, it's just true.
There's a question in the Ramah. The question is like this. If you hold of the Maharami Rutenberg's reading of the Gemara, would that mean, in other words, would that mean that any time, let's say, a person's rabbi dies, even though he's not such a great Talmud Chacham, he's not someone who's Shoel Oso Dvar Halacha the Omer, but still, if he taught you Torah, you should be Chayv and Kriya. Or is it possible to say that the Maharami Rutenberg is only a Kula? Certainly you would need a Talmud Chacham, right? Because that's what it says. The Halacha is a chacham and a talmud chacham, your chayv and kriya. That's after all what Yerushalmi said. Yerushalmi says, right, k'shem shekoron al chachamim, kach koron al tamidi chachamim. And the Bavli says, chacham shemeis hakol krovav. So the Maharami Rutenberg agrees that you need to be a chacham. The Maharami Rutenberg is saying, but not any chacham, only a chacham that taught you something. And then it would come out, if that's the pshat, then if you had a rabbi who's not a chacham, you would still be Pater. And if you define Chacham as Shoel and Oso B'chol Makom, which is one general definition of Chacham that we see elsewhere, so Memela, if you follow the Ramah, you would need to have two things, right? One is, you certainly need to be defined as a Chacham, which is someone who Shoel and Oso Dvar Halacha B'chol Makom V'omra, and B, but not anyone, only someone who taught you something, right? In which case, the Ramah is only a Kula. That's one way to read the Ramah, right? Jeremy's saying, no, the Ramah is a Kula and a Chumrah. It's a Kula, not every Chacham, do you have to tear Kriya, only someone who taught you something, but it's also a Chumrah, which is if he taught you something, even if he's not Shoel and Oso, the Chol Makom V'Omra, you would be Chayev, right? What do you think? You disagree with Jeremy. You think that the Ramah is only a Kula, not a Chumrah. When we say Kula, we mean less Chiyuv and Kriya. Okay. Good. Good. Now, when do you tear Kriya at for such a person? So, the Gemara says, in Moikatan, Kozman, Shoskin, Behespid, then they're Chayavim, because Chacham is Kvodo, Behespedo. So the Rosh quotes the Ravid that your Korea Biyom Shmua, and then if you didn't do Kriya yet, then you wait till the Hespit. In other words, and this is seems to be what the Ramah says as well, right? What the Ramah says as well. Okay. As opposed to the Rambam, who says you always wait for the Hespet. And that's what the Rambam says. If you didn't tear Biyom biyom shmua, and then the zman hesped has passed, so then it's too late. You don't have to tear kri anymore. Okay. Let's turn to Sif Ches. So Sif Ches, we have the din of Rabo. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Shmuel kara mane alahume rabbanan de azbire. So we say that's his rabbi. So any rabbi? So this is a machlok, yes? The Torah says, afilu loher einav ela b'shmua achas. But the Maharam and the Shiltos and others say no, only Rabbo Movhak. At least in terms of the formal chiyuv. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And Sif Ches, al Rabbo, Shirov Chachmasa Mimenu, in Mikra Mikra, Mishnah Mishnah, in Talmud Talmud. So then, Korea called the God of. Oh. Now then, there's a question, what exactly is the Chumrah of Ravo Mofak? Is it, and is a machlokes, there seems to be some Chumrah of Ravo Mofak over Ravo She'enu Mofak. And the question of what is the Chumrah? So the Machmir view basically says Ravo Mofak is basically like a parent. It's called Begadav. And the lenient opinion in Ramban says no, it's this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as well, the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim Shino Korea Latafach Beinu Ma'achal Yolam. In other words, the Chumrah is with respect to Ichui, not with respect to Kol Begadav.
It's either Begadav Ibro or
Ichui. Yeah.
Rabbi said Kol Begadav.
Begadav and Begadav Ibro aren't the same thing.
I thought in this case it was. I thought that Megal Ibo, I thought it was talking about the length of how far down it
was. Oh, yeah? Did I misunderstand that?
Yes. He says that also the Washington.
Call Al Rabo, Shiro Chachmasomi Menu, Immigrina, Korea, Kol Begadav, Ad Shimagal Libo, both. Kol Begadav, Ad Shimagal Libo. The Yeshomim, so the Machmir view, right, says you need Kol Begadav, Ad Shimagal Libo. No, they're just like a parent. In other words, it's basically like Sharkrovav, right? Except with one chumrah, which is what? Right? That's the only element of stringency. Okay. Now, the question is, what is the definition of a rabo mofak? So, as the Mechaber notes, it means rov chachmaso mimenu. What's rov? So the Rama writes in Yoredeya Reish Mem Beis in Hilchos Talmud Torah, "Uviyamim elu ikur harabanas enu talu b'mishalamdo ha'tilpo v'achilukim shenogim b'hem b'zman hazeh, rak b'mishalamdo psak alacha v'ha'ion v'hamidu al ha'emes v'hayosher." From the Marik. So the Rav has a famous shtickle where he held that this means that the Rebbe who taught you Derech HaLimud, meaning to say, the Rav used to say that my father is my Rebbe Mufak. And even though I learned more Masechtos since my, he would list off, I don't remember what it was, you know, I learned these 11 Masechtos with my father, and then, you know, more Masechtos since I stopped learning with my father. You know, the Rav was pretty young when he stopped learning full-time with his father. Of course, in those years, he accomplished quite a lot. But he thought that his father still had the din of Rebbe Mufak, because since he taught him Derech HaLimud, all the learning that he subsequently did was based off of what his father taught him. Now, it's an interesting chiddush. You know, maybe you should say that the Rebbe who teaches you Aleph Beis, or the Mora that teaches you Aleph Beis, so they should have the din of Rebbe Mavuk, because everybody else is built off of that, those foundations. I don't know. I don't think he said that either. Practically speaking, nowadays most people, like we said before, don't really have a Rebbe Mavuk, because for better or for worse, the way things are nowadays is you learn for a Rebbe for a year or two, and then you go on to the next Rebbe, and then go on to the next Rebbe, And there isn't someone who necessarily taught Rov Limud. Again, not saying it doesn't exist at all, but it's probably pretty uncommon. Okay. Fine. Siftes. So the Gemara Moed Katan, Chaf Beis Amud Beis, says that I'll call him a Siftes. Yeah, that's the dinner of Regina in the book.
Like we're just give up all the justifications we gave before, but we don't tear for our chacha. Seemingly would not apply that to the rule of the rest to be the same fact. So what's the how do we justify the fact that it's the real tear in the Rambam?
That's answer. I think that the justification is that you still need to be a chacha. You see, I was confused about this. I think I figured it out. Let me try to remember. In other words, it seems like there are two issues here. Yeah, that would be based off of the Rambam.
How we don't tear?
Yeah.
When he says we don't tear, he's talking about...
No, but that's a point. In other words, this din of Rabbi Sheino Mofa, even though Talmidei Chachamim Shiyoshin Biyachad...
Now he's moving on to something else.
But that's a din of Rabbi Sheino Mofa. Someone that taught you something is a Rabbi Sheino Mofa. And Talmidei Chachamim Shiyoshin Biyachad... Makshim u'mefarkim zel zeh, the lomdim biyachad, is Rabbi Sheino Mofa. At the very least.
No, I
have to check. Maybe I'm wrong, but my recollection is that is Rabbi Sheino Mofa, and that's what's before, and actually in Simon Reishman and Beis. And that's the opinion. Right? The Rama writes, the Yeshomim is, and this is the accepted practice, is that there is no Chiyuv Kriya except for Rabo Shalomdo Rav Chachmaso, as opposed to Rabbi Sheino Mofa. Right? Like Chaverim Halomdim Zeim Zeh, Oshay Eino V'Davar Echad. Right? And that din of being Korea on Rabbi Sheino Mofa is Chumra Be'alma, the Rama says, Ve'echad Nog Nog, Ve'echad Lo Nog Lo Nog. So we'll say, but nowadays it's Lo Nog, right? Now then you have a different question. So there's no, right, what about a Chacha? So that brings you back to Siv Zion, right? In other words, in terms of Rabbi Mofak is a Chiyuv, even if he's not a Chacham, right? Even if he doesn't meet the criteria of Chacham, if he's a Rabbi Mofak, you have to Terkriya. If he's a Rabbi She'eino Mofak, do you have to tear Kriya? That's a machlokas. One opinion says yes, even if he's not, doesn't reach the criteria of Chacham, but you still have to tear Kriya. But the... right. So again, I don't know what Sfar didn't do. I don't know. Adam will tell us. But in terms of the Rama, the conclusion of the Rama is that there is no special din Kriya on Rabbi She'eino Mofak. So the only kriya that would be chayev, if he's not the Rabbi Mofak, is the Chacham, back in Sif Zion, right? And that, the Rama said, Hagah, v'yesh omrim, she'en koran al Chacham, Chacham meaning as defined by the Mechaber as Sholem Oso Dvar Halacha B'chol Makom, that also was Rabbo, i.e. Rabbo She'eino Mofak, because if it's Rabbo Mofak, it don't matter. Oh, Shiyodin Mishmuosav, right? So then bottom line, what comes out if you follow the Ramah is the following. If you follow the Ramah, if we put all the Ramahs together, is the following. If it's Rabo Mavak, Avad Yuter Kriya. If it's Rabo She'eno Mavak, Alt Rabo She'eno Mavak, there's no Chiyav Kriya. So the only potential Kriya for Rabo She'eno Mavak is Alt Chacham. That brings us back to Siv Zayin. Who is the Chacham we have to tear Kriya for? It's a Chacham that Sho'el and Oso B'chol Davar Halacha plus is either Rabo or Yodea Nishmuosef. Right? That's the Pesach of the Ramah. Now, then the Rishach says, well, even that we don't do. And then the Rishach says, oh, well, the Aguda. There is no person that meets the criteria of Siv Zayin. So what's left is this. Right? And the reason why I think David didn't want to learn like you before is because when the Ramah writes, V'yesh Omrim She'en Koran Al Chacham, its Chacham is defined by the Mechaber at the beginning. That you disagreed, but I'm saying that's where it would come from. Right? So that's what would be the bottom line then according to the Ramah.
How is the word Chacham
indicated by the Al Chacham as defined, we just defined what a Chacham is. A Chacham is someone who is Sho'elin Oso Dvar Halacha B'chol Machalonga. Okay, good. Right? So that's why the bottom line, the Ramah, says that there is no din of Kriya Be'etzim on Rabbi Sheno Mufak, only on Chacham. Okay. Sif test. So finally we got to talk about how to tear the Kriya. Right? Before we talked about which begotten to tear. Before we talked about where to tear the Kriya. So the Gemara says, I'll call a Mason Korea Tafach, and Aviv Imo Aj Megala Libo. Why so special for Aviv Imo? So Yishali says a very interesting answer. Shebat l'mimenu mitzvahs kibud. Okay, even though there is a little bit of kibud after their death, but the ikar kibud is when they're alive. So that loss of kibud avaim is what warrants the greater kriya. It's a remarkable thing, right? In other words, you know, I would have always said that the reason is, you know, because of kibud avaim, and it's a greater loss in the life. But Yishali says it's because of the loss of the mitzvah. Kibud avaim is such an incredible mitzvah. And now that's taken away. Okay, so then the question is, which begadim need kriya? So the Gemara says that kol ha-meisim, it's just beged elyon, and aviv imo, kol begadav. So then we have to figure out what is kol begadav. So, so like this. Well, let me just make one other point before we get to what kol begadav is. So, so the Marshal says, quoted by the Bach and the Shach and the Taz, that other the Imo and Sharkrov is from the, on the left side, and Sharkrovim is on the right side. The Shach says it's a minag; it's not an akev, but that's the minag. So what is the difference then between parent and child? One difference mitzad minag is which side you do it on, and then the other difference is it just peged alyon or kol begadav? Now, in terms of Beged Elyon, what if for non-Aveim you just did Beged Tachton, you didn't do Beged Elyon? So the Gilyon Marsha writes, and we're going to get back to this later, but it's very important, that it's not Ma'akev. So if you did Beged Tachton and not Beged Elyon, that's okay. Another thing that the Gilyon Marsha mentions, which is important, is that a person can take off, if they're wearing a very expensive shirt and they don't want to ruin it, so they could switch. They could switch shirts, even for Avaim. Divrei Sofrim, Sifkat Na'alfred, there's some that disagree, but I think that's the halacha. Okay, so what garments are included? So the Gemara Chafes Mabes says, Afikar Suso is Eina Ma'akeves. So first of all, what does Eina Ma'akeves mean? So the Ravitz, Eina Ma'akeves means it's not Ma'akev, but L'chadchila, you should do it. But the Ramban and the Rush, at least the Torah's understanding of the Rush and Rashi, and this is a Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, is you don't even need to do it at all. Okay, so you don't have to tear Apikor Suso. What is Apikor Suso? So Rashi says it's something that you wear on your head, some type of head garment, maybe that drapes down a little bit. And why don't you have to tear Kriya? Rashi says, because it's not a Malbush. It sounds a little bit from Rashi that anything that is a Malbush you do have to do. You know, if you ask me, according to Rashi, you would have to tear your pants, right? Because the only reason you don't tear your hat is because it's a hat. It's not a malbush, it's a hat. Unless you, right, in other words, even if it's not covering this area, because the hat doesn't cover this area, and still the only reason why you don't have to cover the hat is because, tear the hat, is because it's not a malbush. Interesting.
But it's higher. It's lower than the heart.
But I'm saying, in other words, even though it's not in the heart area, still the only reason why you're potter, you're saying it's heart and above?
The chura.
I don't know. Why would you say that?
So where would you tear on the pants and tails?
Where would you tear on the hat until? Mm-hmm. The answer is you have to tear tefach. Somewhere. Anyway, obviously, lemaisa, we don't assume that. I'm not saying lemaisa, I'm just ha'ara and pshat and rashi. So that's pshat one. Pshat one is a hat, or head covering of sorts. Pshat number two is the arach, and it means the some type of beged zeya. That's what you don't have to tear kriya on. And pshat number three, the smag and others, is it's the beged elyon shekorin kafa. Why? It's enu el tzniya. So this isn't the beged elyon that we talked about before, that you're chayv in kriya. This is a beged elyon on top of the beged elyon, called kafa, and it's litznius, and therefore it's not, does not require kriya. Okay, so how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that b'shem the yesh mefarshim, but he writes this is the minug, is that al ava ve'imo, you don't tear kriya on the kafa. So that's the fancy beged shel tznius on top, but you are korea the kamiza, which is the beged zeya. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch writes that the minhag olam is basically the view of the Aruch and the Ramban and the Rosh, that the opposite. Sorry, is the view of the smag. That's the psak, or the minhag olam of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rambam says, no, we're even more makel. This is based off the Hagos HaSmak. Beis Yosef quotes it from the Smak, but it's really the Hagos HaSmak. And that is that Medinos Elu lo nagu l'kroa, lo al beged zeh, lo al asar v'al helio. In other words, we're makel in both ends. We're makel that, like the Aruch, and like the Smak. So what's the pshat? In other words, how could you be makel in both directions? So, l'chora, the pshat is that you read the Gemara like the smak, but misvara, it's misdaber, not to be korea on a beged zeya. One way to look at it is it's like a kavachomer. If a beged zeya, a beged zeya is less of a beged, think about an undershirt, right? An undershirt is less of a beged than a beged you wear for tznius, right? An over garment that you wear for tznius. So if you're going to say that a beged mishum tznius is not a beged, so kol shekein, a beged that you wear for zeya is not a beged, right? Oh, that's the way other achshav says it. Oh, barshakim vanti. A beged is something that you wear to keep you warm, basically, or to keep you covered. So anything that doesn't serve that purpose is exempt. And that's what the Rama says is the minhag. So let's say... Right, that's exactly what I said. Now there's that we accept the interpretation of the smag, but misvara we know to pater the undershirt. Good. So it's obvious, therefore, let's say a talis gadol would not need to have kriya, right? A talis gadol would be a definitely be one of those outer garments that is that you wear for tznius. Oh, we'll talk about talis gadol in a second. Now the Masas Ben Yamin, which is quoted by the Shach and the Taz, says that a outer garment called the shul mantle is not require kriya. That's what the Taz says. That's what the Masas Ben Yamin says. But implying everything else would, like a jacket or a ruck. So what is going on here? What are we talking about? This is obviously a very important shaila. The Taz says the Masas Ben Yamin doesn't make any sense, because why in the world would anybody have the Havamina that you have to tear kli on the shul mantel, right? You only wear that in shul. That's like the special garment that chashuv people wear in shul. You're not going to wear that anyway to the basic varus. There's no havim you need to have to wear to tear kli on. That's what the Ramah's coming lafuke. So what is the Ramah coming to lafuke? He says you don't have to tear kli on the ruck. L'chara, the ruck is like our suit jackets. And therefore, the Taz is saying, you don't have to tear kli on the suit jackets. And then he quotes B'Shem the Aguda, that why are you pater? If you don't wear it in your house, you only wear it with tznius, so therefore, you're pater. And then he adds, even if sometimes you do wear it in your house, meaning to say, okay, you don't just wear your jacket outside. You even wear your jacket in your home sometimes. No, batla keneged rov bnei adam. Batla keneged rov bnei adam. Those people don't wear jackets in their house all the time. And therefore, a jacket is pater. Now, if there was a category of people who always wear their coats inside or their jackets inside, then perhaps they would be chayev. And the reason is, generally speaking, when it comes to the principles of batla daito etzel kol adam, the rule is that if you're a weirdo, so batla daito etzel kol adam. But if there are a category of people that have a certain practice, even though this category is a minority of the total population, so we don't say batla daito etzel kol adam. Now, sometimes it's hard to figure that out. This comes up in terms of chatzitzos or the like painters. So painters have certain kulas, and like for them, paint isn't a chatzitza on their hands, let's say. But for a regular person that's just a, you know, just a messy person, so we would say batla daito etzel kol adam, because most people care about paint. But if you're in the category of painters, then it would be okay, even though a minority of the population is painters. However, even if that was such a category, so let's say, you know, there's a group of people, chashuv people, that whenever they're in their house and people are around, they wear a jacket. But still, that doesn't mean that the Taz would say they have to wear tear kli on their jacket, because if they only wear it at home for tznius, like when other people are around, but when other people aren't around, even they take off their jackets, so then, other people meaning the guests and the like, so then they would still be pater. And then the Taz says,
who wears their jacket in the house?
Some people wear jackets in the house when other people are around.
Oh, but not when
Yeah, that's the point. That's my point. Oh, my point is, even if you had a category of people that always wore jackets when other people, when guests are around, still, it would still be begader tznius, and the Taz would say you're pater. Okay? And then the Taz adds that maybe you want to be machmir, you shouldn't be machmir in this. Odani omer, dein ro'i afil lahachmir v'lekroa harak, dehave chumra dasi l'de kula. Why? Because the halacha is that for shar mesim, you're only korea one beged. So if you're going to be machmir to tear the jacket, you're going to tear your jacket. But you're not yotze with the jacket, right? And then they're not going to fulfill their mitzvah of kriya. So therefore, you shouldn't tear your jacket, you should just tear your shirt. That's, if we're putting the Taz in terms of our clothing, that's what the Taz would say. So the Nekuda Sakasef says, no, I think that the Mas Ben Yamin was right. He was defending the Minhag Olam, and the ruck is chayev. Why? Because people do wear jackets in the shuk. And anyone who doesn't wear a jacket in the shuk, it's true, there's some people that don't, but it's a gnai. It's like you're from a pechusim. Only lower class people don't wear jackets in the shuk. But regular people do wear jackets in the shuk. And therefore, that's the shach, yeah, in the Nekudas HaKesef. And therefore, So what does this translate for us nowadays? So let's say you are a person that does not wear a jacket, generally speaking, in the shuk, right? In the street. You know, some live in Bnei Brak, so if you take your garbage out, you have to put on your jacket. So, okay, maybe they would have to wear a tear. But let's say for most people nowadays, in our communities, so they're not makbid to wear a jacket every time they go into the street. So l'chora, then, even according to the shach, certainly according to the Taz, they wouldn't have to tear kriya on their jacket, but even according to the shach, they would not have to tear kriya on the jacket. However, l'chora, if you have a person or a group of people who are makbid to always wear a jacket when they go out into the street. So luchora, according to the shach, they would have to tear their jacket, and according to the taz, they would still tear their shirt. That's luchora, what would have come out. Now, if that were true, then for someone that's in this category, meaning to say they're rabbi, they're makbid, that whenever they go out, they wear a jacket. So then, according to the shach, they should tear their jacket. According to the taz, they should tear their shirt. But lemaisa, the better thing to do would be to tear the shirt. Why? Because we said before, from the Gilyan Marsha and others, that if you, let's talk about shark roving for the moment. So if you have to tear your jacket, but you tear your shirt, you're yotze. If you have to tear your shirt, but you tear your jacket, you're not yotze. Right? So it would be better, it would be safer to just tear your shirt and not your jacket, because then you're going to be yotze l'chatchila for the shach, and at least l'chatchila for the taz, and at least b'dieved for the shach. And therefore it would make sense that even if you are such a person, certainly for people that aren't makbid to wear jackets in the street, all they have to tear is their shirt. But even people that are makbid to wear jackets in the street, still the better thing to do would be to just tear the shirt. Now Rabbi Willig thinks that you definitely need to only tear your shirt, and you don't have to tear more. First of all, he thinks, Mikra, didn't we pass in like the Taz anyway? Therefore, everybody would only need to tear the shirt. But he said that Bizman Azeh, even in the Kudus HaKasef, would agree, all you have to do is tear the shirt. Now, why? I would have thought that according to the Kudus HaKasef, again, if you're a rabbi, or a Rosh Yeshiva, whatever it is, you're makbid dafka to go in the street only with a jacket. So then, l'chor, according to the Shach, you would have to tear your jacket. So Willick thought no. Willick thought that the Shach only said that when only Pchusim would go without a jacket in the Shuk, right? And therefore, not wearing a jacket makes you Pchusim. So it's not if you're a rabbi and you're makbid to wear a jacket in the street, fine. But nobody would say where we live that you're a pchusim, you're a lower class person, if you don't wear a jacket, right? Again, maybe in some communities that's true. There are definitely communities where only pchusim don't wear jackets. But I think in our communities, that's not true. In our communities, maybe some people are very chashiv and makbid to wear jackets in the street. But we would never say that somebody who doesn't wear a jacket is begeter pchusim. And therefore, Ari Willig thinks that lemaisa, all you have to do is tear kriya on your shirt, even for a parent, and kol shekein for shar krovim. That's what Rabbi Willig thought. I think Rabbi Shechter says the same thing. So, l'maaseh Rabbi Willig, when he was sitting shiva for his father, if I remember, he definitely tore his jacket, but he didn't think you need to. That's what everybody does, so he did it also. We already saw that for parents. We don't say it's bal tashlis to do a little more than you need to. The Otzar Poskim says that you're putter from a sweater. Rosh Sternbach is a little bit misupik about it. If you're someone, especially if you always wear it inside in the winter, in other words, like in the winter, that's what you do the whole year. You always wear it the whole year, the whole winter. You always wear a sweater inside. Then maybe you should. Not so clear, but I think most poskim say you don't have to tear a sweater. What about a talis katan? So, again, assuming that some people have the bagadzea types of talis katan, so then they would be pater. But most of us who wear an undershirt and then a talis katan, so luchah, the pashup shat is you should have to tear a talis katan. However, most poskim say you don't have to tear a talis katan. Not so clear why. The Chazon Ish was not so was misupik about whether this is correct or not, but the Netziv says not to, either because it's a beged zeya, or it's because it's a beged of mitzvah. That's why we wear a talis katan, for the mitzvah. Now, it's not just for a mitzvah, then you would be mekayem a mitzvah, but that's really what motivates us. So what's the svara? Why should that be a tzad liftor? So the svara is also not such an obvious svara. If you remember back from the Birka Yosef and others, they said that the purpose of kriya is to be mizbazeh, right? That's why they said it's better to have somebody else do it. So it's not appropriate to be mizbazeh with your beged that's a chefta shel mitzvah. Now, obviously, in the olden days, where their beged elyon and beged tachton might have worn tzitzis, they would have torn kriya on it. But the way we look at the the tzitzis as talis katan is like a chafetz shal mitzvah, so not to. And that's a minhag olam. Minhag olam is not to. Okay, what about women? So I'll just do this very quickly, then we'll stop. So the Gemara Moed katan chaf beis and beis says echad ish vechad isha are chayavin. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer aisha koras ha-tachton ha-machzira la-chor v'chozeres v'koras ha-elyon because of tznias. The Beis Yosef has a machlokas rishonim whether the Tanakhama disagrees with Rav Shimon Elazar or there's no disagreement. He discusses it. The Gra quotes Yerushalmi that maybe the Tanakhama disagrees and only thinks the outer kore, only the outer, not the inner. L'maisa Shulchan Aruch says koras ha-tachton u-machziro la-chorev v'koras ha-elyon. That's Pesach the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Aruch Shulchan says, nowadays this isn't shayach to be machzir the beged tachton, and therefore you should only do the beged elyon. Halacha l'maisa, so that's usually the case. There really aren't beged elyon and beged tachton in the same way for women. There's just one beged that's really shayach to kriya, generally speaking. So the poskim say that it's important that women not tear in public where it would be a breach of tznias, or the like. The minhag is a woman helps the other women tear kriya on the side, and then you quickly cover, you know, put safety pins or the like to cover the kara. For most of our begadim, it's not shaykh to anyway do the tachton, flip it around and do the elyon or the like, and that's I think that's the common practice, that you know, women usually wear a blouse a dress or something like that, and they tear kriya in a more, you know, off to the side, not in public, and then they quickly put safety pins to cover it up, so there's no breach of tznias. Yeah.
So if someone's wearing a sweater today and a button-down shirt, so is the
you want to just do your phone?
The others, you can not get to the sweater.
Oh, so that would probably depend on
the appearance.